fucking rap. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just going to stand up here. Here on lesson one, every member of missionary, we started with every soul a treasure. Why do we care? Because Jesus cared about these souls. These are treasured souls that he lived and died for. So that's why we care about them too. And whose job is it? Every member of missionary. It's all of our job. And your job looks different from my job, which looks different from the missionary of Africa and his job. And that's a good thing. Because your job is to be a missionary in your way, in your position in life, in the way that you would be a missionary. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. We are on what is Roman numeral 2. Christians are stones. We decided that we are babies, that we are constantly growing up until we become spiritually mature. And then somebody shot me a text. What do you mean by spiritually mature? And can you define spiritual? And I think that's a fair question because we talk about, well, I'm religious, or I don't need to go to church because I'm a spiritual person. And I can go out in the boat and I get more out of fishing than I do sitting in church. And to that I say, you never once think about Jesus when you are fishing. You know, unless I don't buy that for a second. Exactly. Not what we're talking about. Yeah, we're not talking about being spiritual or religious. We're talking about spiritual maturity. And we remember that this guy's face didn't change at all. As he grew from a spiritual infant into spiritual maturity, he looked the same, but it's really what was going on in his heart. And when we use the word spiritual, we're using it in the life that the Spirit has created. Much like Jesus made that distinction between the Spirit and the flesh, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, hey guys, I want you to wait and pray with me. And they all fall asleep. And Jesus tells them, hey you guys, you know, stay with me. And they don't. And it's not just that they fall asleep, they all fell away. Because the Spirit is willing, the new person in them that the Spirit has created through the means of grace is willing, but the flesh is weak. The sinful nature in all of us is weak. So when we talk about spiritual, it's the life that the Spirit has created in our hearts. We call it the new man, the life we live for him, and we want to grow up to be spiritually mature. And we had a good Bible passage for that. We kind of rushed at the end by we, I mean I. This is what we're shooting for. We want to grow up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Well, okay, what does that mean? It means that we attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is from Ephesians chapter 4. And until we get to the full measure of Christ, we need to keep growing. We're not going to be there yet, but that's what we're shooting for. And that doesn't mean that we don't try. One of the best examples of this, we were cleaning up the snow. You know, you've seen the snow at our own place in South Dakota, and how it gets and it piles up and it never goes away, especially if you don't stay on top of it. And so I would be out there almost every other day when the wind blows back and forth, and I would say, Daddy, why do you keep shoveling when nobody else does? Well, because there's snow in the driveway. And I don't want snow in the driveway. I want to keep it. Why do you bother trying to be perfect if you can't? Why do you strive to be spiritually mature to be like Jesus when you know this side of heaven is never going to be there? Because that's your job. That's what we do. We grow up until we are like Jesus. And when we're like Jesus, then we'll be in heaven. And then we can stop growing up because we'll be there. We'll have reached the end. So that's what we mean by spiritual. It's the new life that the Spirit has created in us, the life we live by the Spirit, everything we value because of our relationship with Jesus, and spiritually mature. I think you can make that parallel with physically, too. You grow up, you act differently, you think differently, you are able to function differently than you did when you were 10. And if you don't, then you have big person problems. If you do, then life progresses nicely. Same thing spiritually. And so if we stay babies, you know, we are not only going to miss out on what we get, but also serving.
Yes? So our spirituality is our striving to be like Christ. Is that just a rough definition?
I would call it your new life. I think we talk more that way. It's your new life.
Well, I'm thinking of if you talk to Hindus or New Age people or lot of people say, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual, you know, they're thinking of a different sort of realm. So what we have is that, I mean, because the spiritual weirdness really does happen with these other people. So the comparison is hard to make, the comparison, it seems like.
Yeah, it's just terms, just terminology. And the big difference is spirituality is something that I knew, something that I worked out for myself. But then the spiritually mature, my relationship with Jesus is something that God does for me. I think that's probably the biggest difference. Yes, Tom.
So as we become mature Christians, then we should also become more bold in witnessing our faith and sharing our faith with one another.
That's one of the goals that we have. Yes? Can I answer yes, or are you hoping for a little bit more?
I was hoping maybe somebody else would have a good idea. But
we talked about that a little bit, didn't we? That we're not all going to be missionaries in Africa. We are not all going to be preaching on a Sunday, because you can witness much better than somebody. Remember that line, standing in front of church with the dress on? That's not going to work out on the street, but it's going to work in your family and in your lives.
Plus, I mean, you're asking for other points of view. I think we should expect fruit, right? God will work fruit in us, whether it's witnessing or raising our kids in a certain way. We should probably expect to see some fruit, encouraging each other. Probably there'll be, I think it's probably not wrong to expect fruit and expect some blessings from it, right?
No.
I mean, just because I go tell Dave about Jesus today, next week, Sunday, doesn't mean he's, you know, in church and everything's perfect, but eventually fruit always comes.
Right, and you can't hide behind, well, I don't have that gift. Because that's not what we're saying. You can't hide behind, well, God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, blah, 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 some to be pastors and teachers. I don't have that gift, so it's not my job. And we can't hide behind that. And we can't hide behind, well, I can't make that through. You can witness in your way. Yes, Dr. Peterson?
I kind of see the maturity part as becoming less selfish and more interested in other people. And, I mean, I fail at that all the time. I'm always looking to myself. But I see that that is our job, to not just be wondering where am I in my relationship with Jesus, but who else hasn't even started yet? How can I, you know, that's what I want to give them.
Would we use the example of the flight attendant carrying kids on board, and you got a 2-year-old and you're all nervous, great, what's this flight attendant thinking? We don't have problems when 2-year-olds act like 2-year-olds. We have problems when 32-year-olds act like 2-year-olds. You know, 2-year-olds have this revelation when they grow up, oh yeah, I'm not the only human being in the world, which you're convinced you are when you're 2. And so I think that speaks exactly to your point. Okay, good answer.
I thought it was a really great question too. Forgive the, there are no fan loyalties intended. I need a disclaimer.
I don't see it. What's that, G?
That's OG. So, Christians are stones. That's what we're going for next. We are babies, we are stones, and I am praying that we can get to, we are priests today. 1 Peter 2:4-5, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God, and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. See, there's that word again. We're not talking physical, it's spiritual. This is your relationship with God. In a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We have talked about this in a bunch. Sharing our faith can be a scary thing. An important truth to remember is that we are not alone and that Christ has made it possible to be his missionaries. So, sitting out in the middle of nowhere in a snowstorm by yourself is a scary thing. When you are together with 50, 60,000 other people and you're all united in a purpose and you're all there for one thing and you're all together, it is not a scary thing. Unless you happen to be the one, I'm not sure who they're playing in there, you can't even see.
But it's not scary. Strength in numbers, I'm not afraid, this is great. And a lot of times you live for the big Blizzard game so that for years you can tell the story, you know, we went there. It's important for us to remember that when we are missionaries, when we witness, we are not alone either. I know this is another oldie but goodie, and anytime you get to talk about grilling, it's a great thing. If one of those falls out, one of those goes by itself, what happens?
It dies.
It dies, and then it's not going to do its job. Not only is it going to lose, but the rest of the coals are going to lose because then they don't have the support and the strength and the fire from the rest of them. So together, you have a certain amount of strength and confidence that you just don't have on your own. Which is why Jesus did not tell you all by yourself to go and make disciples of the entire world. He gave it to his church. So we want to talk about that a little bit, that we are all in this together. I hope we can nail this one. Who is the foundation of our Christian faith?
Jesus.
Yes. And how does that give you confidence in sharing your faith? So we answered as a spiritual two-year-old, and now, how does that give us confidence? Steve.
He is doing it, not us. We're a vessel. And that's probably the best way to look at it. You're going to just be the vessel, the kettle here, if you will, that you put the coals into. He's the coals. You're just going to hold them and let the heat go.
Hey, Rosemary, welcome back today.
Also, you're not sharing your message. You're sharing
excellent. Easy to forget, but excellent.
Yeah, that's pretty close to what I was thinking. Is if the foundation is Jesus, I guess the confidence is, as long as you stick to Jesus, you can't really screw it up. So you should have some confidence.
Dave?
Well, it sort of hit me in the early service, the theme, just that I didn't start thinking about in depth, what Christ did. He was up there as, you know, God. And he had to come down, as one person put it, he had to come down as a chihuahua amongst a bunch of pit bulls to hear. And, I mean, that was just really strong love thing that he did. And so that should make us say, well, he can do that. I mean, that is a strong sacrifice. He can do that. I think I could go out and do something. Go sit at a table in the park and put a sign up there. You want to know about Christ? You want prayer?
And it's not for crying out loud, be more like Jesus. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you appreciate what he did for you? But that's not what we're talking about either. We're talking about, look what he did for you. And now we get to go and do this too. We don't have to do his job, and we get to do it in our own way, and not optional. But we remember that, one, Jesus goes with us, and our brothers and sisters here are here to not do your job, but they do their job. And so you stack us all together, and then we can find a lot of confidence in this. The Bible talks about this. We are built onto Jesus. And if we forget that we are built on Jesus and the apostles and their teachings, then we're going to flounder. And then we're going to resort to, what, don't you love Jesus? For crying out loud, go do your job. You know, or, oh, if you really loved him, then you would do this and your ministry would look like this and your witnessing, it would be this kind of, that's not what we're shooting for. Every brick has its job built on Jesus. But we can't hide behind that and say, oh, I don't got that fruit. You know, Jesus didn't give me that gift. But we get to really understand who we are and how we fit in. The picture here is that every person who comes to faith is one more stone added to the spiritual building that is the Holy Christian Church. We are not alone. This verse tells us that we are to offer our own spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God. So you don't look to the person next to you, boy, if I could only witness like that person. Or if I only had the success rate that that person had. You know, or if I could only teach a Bible information class, then I could, you get that out of your minds. Like, this is your own work. You are your own stone.
And if God wanted you to be someone else, he would have made you someone else. So, with those thoughts in mind, react to this. I'll give you about 30 seconds to react with someone. Oftentimes, we are more worried that our witness will be pleasing to another person rather than to God. Yeah, react means you don't get it wrong. That our witness will be pleasing to another person rather than to God.
True.
Oops, let me have that. Anybody want to share what you talked about?
Oftentimes people were afraid that we're going to offend somebody. I've gone beyond that point.
No!
I am now, there's a sign I think on my front lawn that says if you're a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, please avoid.
You're on the blacklist.
Oh yeah, because I have a Bible that book that has translations like 12 different versions. And one of them is the Jehovah's Witness one. So when they come, I open it up and say, "How come your salary says so different than everybody else's?" And same when the Mormon missionaries come, you know, I work on them. I've been visited by the head of the ward up the street there, and I try to get him to come. His answer to me, he said, "What makes you think your church is perfect?" What? I said, "I don't. Because it's just the church is perfect." I said, "The people in it aren't, and neither is yours."
And it gets to a point where you're that confident talking about your faith. And that's a good thing. Brett?
I find one of the biggest mistakes I make is I want to win the argument. And so I'm thinking more about how I'm going to come across than how Jesus is going to come across. So, and I don't know.
And what's the favorite line? It's being right is not the most important thing.
Being right is not the most important thing.
I got it memorized too.
Another thing is, especially in today's day and age, we're always thinking of what other people are thinking of us and judging us. And if we make the wrong move, what are they going to think? Are they just still going to be my friend? Are they still going to talk? Are we still going to hang out or whatever? And so when we witness, we need to put that aside and realize that we're witnesses for God. And going back to the verse in Isaiah 55, whatever comes down will not be in vain. God's going to work through it somehow. And so just getting past our own personal bubble and sharing his word and sharing the gospel and the good news to people, we can not worry about what they think of us.
And there's an interesting parallel there too between physical, psychological maturity and spiritual maturity. Because there's a point where, I even know this little guy who, you get new shoes, right? And you don't want to wear them to school. Well, why don't you want to wear your shoes to school? Well, because kids are going to make fun of me. What are you talking about? Well, kids are not going to make fun of you for wearing new shoes, but you know how that is. Well, everybody is thinking this about me. No, they're not. You're the only one thinking that about you, but you are convinced because that's the way your brain is working at that time in your development. Everyone's looking at me, thinking about me. And so I think to make that connection spiritually that, well, yeah, maybe I want them thinking about me if I'm living my life tonight.
I also think, okay, it's the Peterson table. Sorry. I also think that it's interesting in this day of social media how people will put things out on social media, and they'll either put them out there to incite people, to get people's backs up, or they'll put them out there, you know, I mean, I've put things out there and had people react to a Bible verse. I mean, it's like, really? I'm just putting a Bible verse out there. But the Word of God is a powerful thing, and people, it is a powerful thing. But it's really interesting how sometimes you can, people will react to you, and so sometimes I actually will think, oh, I'm not going to pass this thing on that was so good, that meant so much to me that I got from Facebook. I'm not going to post it on my wall because I don't want to get people mad at me today. You know, it is more how much do I want to get people yelling at me on my wall? You know, it's social media is a big thing, especially with the younger crowd. Maybe not so much with this younger crowd.
And I think that's a good one for us to wrap this up on and segue to the next point. We have our Tree of Life kids, and they were having an internal discussion about sexuality and orientation and the whole deal. And then one of our kids, he shouted out on Facebook, "Can someone help me out here?" Because he felt like he was losing and he wanted some support. Mm-hmm. And isn't that exactly what Jesus said, that we are built into this spiritual house and it is not all up to you? And there's something about having your brothers and sisters backing you up. And, you know, strength in numbers. Why do you get goofy at a football game? Because there's 60 other people being goofy, 60,000 other people being goofy with you. And why are you strong to witness? Because you have the backing of your brothers and sisters, which you don't always. Sometimes it is just up to you. And then you get to, because you are not a spiritual baby anymore. Oh, didn't I just say we're done? All right.
Well, what they're saying about you don't want to just win battle. Sometimes you don't even do battle. But part of it is you sort of win their confidence or get to a point where they think you're credible and then bring up your other gospel and stuff like that. Because a lot of times, and I've done this too many times in my life, you know, I win the point, but they don't want to hear.
Maybe let's keep these thoughts in mind. Here's a video. It's not super new. Maybe think, is it your job to witness to this guy? What about passing this guy off onto someone else? What about saying, well, this is pastor's job to witness to this guy? We'll just take a look at it.
Thank you. people who don't have God in their lives and aren't exactly sure how to get him back. But you know, before I step in, I need you. I need you to do something that's probably a big deal for you. You're going to see me this week, and I need you not to walk past me. I need you to work through your fear, because I'm working through mine, and I just need you to invite me in. And if I act like I'm not interested in going to church with you, still, I need you to ask me to come. I need you to help me see God.
Is that your job? My job? Don't give the pastor a straight yes answer. What do you think? That's just me.
I'll be
about it. Yeah, it is all me about. And that's why it's very comforting to know that there are how many different stones who have the same job. We've all been put there by Jesus with the same message you have. So the point is, when you see your job, make sure you do it. You know, don't feel that, well, I can't do this, or I can't do that, or... But when it's your turn, make sure it happens. Yes?
I like the part where he said, all you have to do is invite me in, and you don't have to make it complicated. So I think that's the thing. Keep in mind, we don't have to go through some big long thing. All we have to do is invite him. Simple.
That line jumped out at me too. And I've watched it a bunch.
Yeah. The phrase that stuck out to me was, don't be afraid to come and invite them or meet them where they are, because they're afraid to.
Yeah. You know, the guy last week said the same thing, didn't he? I know it's weird for you. And it's not that I don't want you to, I just know it's weird for you. So just do it.
I think that was very emotional for me, because when you have your own kids who have given up, you know, on the Lord, and then you see people who, there's some faithful people here who have not given up on the kids. And it just is very heartwarming that there are, you know, Christians who will not give up on them. Mm-hmm. Keep inviting them, even though they haven't been here for 2-3 years.
Yeah, because they are our kids, right? Yeah. And I know those people are happy to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we invite people, or we see people that are new at our church, we make them feel welcome and help them in our service, because if you haven't been to church in a while or ever been to church, it's very awkward. You know, it's, what is the old saying, that's the most frightening thing other than getting married, is going to church for the first time. So.
put yourself someplace where you don't go very often, and or even go to a wedding at someone else's church, even another girl's church. And now, I think your point is great. Now, multiply that by 100, and that's someone just coming in. Especially like he said, I have some baggage. You know, I have some things I'm working through. So he needs to be there. And so do, and I think that's a good point too. There's a huge mission field right in our own, you know, in our own circles too. Yes.
So it seems like when we walk into church, we shouldn't just be thinking, oh, I got here. I hope it's good. We should be saying, okay, where are they? Where is the person that I haven't met yet, that's first time visiting, or I haven't had a chance to just get to know yet? And be constantly seeking them out before church, and at the end of church, and all of that. Rather than, okay, I did my job, I'm here, I can check that off my to-do list. No, it's always going. There's always work to be done.
And you know, I think this is fair. I think there are some days that you come to church and you just can't do it. I think that's fair. I think that's honest. There's some days that you just need to come and be fed and serve and recharge and find that kind of rest. So boy, if that's not you, then you're up. Then it's your turn, and you better be on, because we're a family. Right? We're stones built together, and we're going to do this together. If it's not my turn today, then I better come back next week ready to go. Okay, last comment, and then we'll move on.
In our former church, the pastor had a command that none of the believers in the congregation could talk to each other. They had to talk to somebody they didn't know every Sunday.
Didn't even put a time limit on that?
No. For a year. We do that for a year.
Okay. I heard rumors about that, and he shared with us at meetings too. I think that's a good idea. Why? Because you can do that any other day. Yeah. All right, so truth is, we are babies and we're grown up. We are stones who are not alone. We are built on the foundation of Jesus. We are built together with other Christians who serve alongside of us. And it's a pretty big fellowship, and it's pretty comforting when you look and stop and think just how big it is. Oh, he's still going. Right? It's bigger than you, it's bigger than me. We do some of these things together. You know, Wells Connection today. You know, look at what we're doing as we train up, you know, whole another generations of pastors and teachers together. Right? We can do that together. Individually, we can't. It's like the best band game ever. Well, Red Rover. You know, how do you win at Red Rover, Red Rover? Not by getting the biggest kids on your team, but by playing the game right. You all hold on, and you know the kid is coming, and he's going to try and break through. If you all work together and you all give together, nobody should ever win at Red Rover. You know, but it's when you're always going to have that one kid who's goofing off, or, you know, or someone who gets afraid because, oh, the big kid is coming. But if you all stick in, you all hang together, and then it works. I think it's a crime that Red Rover has been banned. All right, Christians are priests. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you, and he's talking to you, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Share with someone at your table what you know about the Old Testament priesthood. 2 minutes.
Put it in and take it out and get it.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. And his breastplate was made of all the jewels that are going to be made out of the walls of the New Jerusalem.
Well,
did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but the jewels in the breastplate are the ones that are going to make up the walls of the New Jerusalem.
In place,
that's the
ducks.
Because in Egypt, they were just people of that before the Mormon church. It's interesting when the kings came along, the king, they were working.
They still use the dice in the Mormon.
Some of them, and I understand.
I know they have to.
Others have seen somebody going around.
I would imagine that sounds because
of two of those guys. Nathan,
do you have anything from your table you'd like to share from your vast insight and knowledge into the Old Testament priesthood?
When was the priesthood established?
On the way out of Mount Sinai, before the Promised Land.
So while they were still in the desert?
Yeah. Remember there was the rebellion, Korah and his buddies?
Yeah, got swollen.
Not good. Do not rebel against the Lord. I wonder if we ever get that in the past. So God established it, the tabernacle, they were serving in the tabernacle already, and then when Solomon built the temple, then they served in the temple.
I mean, God set up a heck of a system. He picked the Levites, they were the thing. We still have it today. It's worked pretty well for about 3,000 to 4,000 years. I mean, you know, we have a group that is set aside, we call pastors, to lead us in praying and do it. At least you don't have to do the butchery job.
True.
For your sacrifices. I mean, that was a messy job for you to be a priest.
Intentionally so,
yeah.
Correct? To impress the proper people, look at what your sin has done. Yeah, that wasn't by accident that it was a messy job. Somebody had a really great comment over here. If you ever share it, if not, I will warn you. Good stuff. They were born into it, you know, just by family. It was, I mean, I'm pretty fortunate my dad was, but not for him, so they were done, you know, a couple generations back. But yeah, we were born into it. It was something that God set up. A lot of symbolism. I'm not always up on all my Old Testament on the sacrifices and, you know, the priesthood and whatever little thing meant, but what we want to talk about today is right upon their heads, it said, "Holy to the Lord." And that didn't happen without a lot of blood and without a big mess, because look at what your sin has done. Your sin has separated you from God, and I want you to serve the people, but before that's going to happen, you need to sacrifice for your sins. So, holy to the Lord. And so, what is Peter saying by calling all of us royal priests?
That we are holy to the Lord, ourselves. And when Christ died, we can now have access to God directly because of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we can go to God directly. We don't need a priest to confess our sins to or anything. We can confess them straight to God.
But don't ever give up on that either.
No, no, no.
Because Pastor might think you're sinful.
Yeah.
What a difference today. Now that Jesus has offered himself to take away the sin of the world, the work of the Old Testament priest is no longer necessary. Jesus made the atoning sacrifice once on the cross for all time for all people. As a result of the forgiveness that we have in him, we all have the privilege of serving as priests, offering our lives in thanks for all he has done for us. So it's not my job, it's we get to have this job now. Top of the last page, as priests, we are to declare the praise of him who called him out of darkness into his wonderful light. Called us out of darkness. Which of the following best describe what that reality in your mind? Circle them. How do you view this task that God has given you to declare his praises? You can do this as a group or by yourself.
Yes. Times all of them.
Yes. Ah.
is your dumb ass.
Or if you're not confident,
and it's wrong.
It sounds like things are going pretty well. For me, one of the most terrifying things ever would be to tee up a ball in front of this many people and actually think I'm going to hit it straight, you know, without killing someone or without whiffing or without making the world's biggest divot. That terrifies me. Nothing more terrifying than the first tee box, which is why I rarely golf unless I have to out of family obligation. You know, the guy said, let's go golfing. I think witnessing can be the same way. You know, I would rather do anything because I feel like this. Remember the 2-year-old, the 4-year-old? Everybody's looking at me. Everybody's going to judge me, and I'm going to screw this up and hurt someone. You know, not true. I mean, we are priests, holy to the Lord, equipped with everything we need. And I think any of these can be your honest answer. We just need to remember how we all fit in to this priesthood, that we're all stones, we're all in this together, and when it's your turn, just make sure that you go for it. And if it's not, if you fail, hey, you're forgiven. And if it's not yours, you got all the other stones that are there to back you up too. So let's agree or disagree with the following. How about these two tables? Take the first one. God has made every Christian a priest, therefore God has made every Christian a missionary. You two take that, please. Well, these four tables, take the middle one. Describe God's calling you out of darkness into wonderful light. How does that experience shape your mission work? Does it limit your mission work? And if you're in the back row, God has made every Christian a priest and missionary. Your answer to the previous question is your message you are to take with you wherever you go. So I guess you have to be cool about that.
What is that? It's easy. You sit back, talk about the what? The table says we're
I'm going to go to the next one.
Every time you read a Bible passage, you get something
out of it. And then it's an opportunity to go.
See, did I ever have to retire?
You're right.
No, right.
But I know that God's working with me.
Would it be the possibility of being able to help?
I know that I don't have to live that way. So you're right, I should have left.
They might be going into the assignment.
And God, no, conversation
about that. No, I'm just not.
You know?
Okay, here we go. God has made every Christian a priest, therefore God has made every Christian a missionary.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
I don't care what that table says.
Yes, Deb.
We had the Great Commission.
Yeah. Commission?
Commission.
The Great Commission.
Backyard missionaries. Well, they're thinking every good agree or disagree can always have like a counter viewpoint. So we thought if you take missionary literally to the point that it means going to a foreign country, not necessarily, but missionary every day among the people that you encounter, then yes.
Mm-hmm. In your way, and the people you have out there. They're nodding, we'll move on. The strike out's calling you out of darkness into his wonderful light. How does that experience, and I hope someone really hammered that word, how does that experience shape your mission work? Does it limit your mission work?
Our table kind of felt limited because we were born into it. And so we lack that desire that some people that came later have to share. And maybe that recognizing with them that you were there too and now you're here. So, but.
Okay, but the blessing that comes with that?
We talked about the fact that when you're born into it, you're living with that constant confidence your whole life of God is there, you rely on Him. When things come up, you don't have as many qualms, let's say, as somebody who hasn't been there. And that confidence that you have can be something that helps you share because of the non-worry in that sense.
Okay. Yeah, taking absolutely nothing away from what you said on the other side is, look what you do have.
I think, you know, we God's love for us by, you know, saving us and bringing us out of darkness kind of, you know, demands a response. And our response is, you know, to love God, and that means love our neighbor and the Great Commandment, you know. So loving our neighbor means we need to share the gospel. So it's basically we're called to do something, not just kind of live, you know, live our life, you know, with that great, you know, gift that we have without doing anything.
Okay. And sometimes it takes a parent sitting you down and saying, you are going to write this thank you. Why do I have to write a thank you? Because look at what this person gave you. And so, okay. And then you grow up a little bit. And then you want to write a thank you. What this person gave. Same thing. We get to a point where we want to. But also, newer Christians often do have that appreciation and that zeal. And so you put those two together and you send them out. And then you got both. You got that zeal, this is new, this is great, and then you have that live, the solid foundation. So when you get all back, you're going to bring that. Right? No, it's a good, it's perspective on both sides. God has made every Christian a priest and a missionary. Your answer to the previous question is your message. You are staying with you wherever you go. Any more feedback on that?
Yeah, and what you have experienced helps you maybe see something in somebody else. If you've been a Christian all your life and you stay in, I look at the prodigal son, the brother. I relate to the brother better than I do the other prodigal son, though I was the first one, not the last. But you relate to him. You get this kid and he blew everything. And I love the answer. You've always had everything. And we sometimes forget we have had everything. So, you know, those are the things that help. With your experiences, direct you a lot of times.
Here are hopefully the three things that we've learned about ourselves and about our calling, and that we're not in this alone. You are a baby who needs to grow. And as soon as we think we're done, you know, then you're done. But when we have this, I'm constantly growing, I need to constantly eat and constantly learn more. We just have that comment over here. Every time we read it, it's new. We learn something new. So we are babies who need to grow. We are stones who have been made part of the Holy Christian Church. And so we have a huge backing, and we're built on Jesus himself. And as long as we remember that and stay focused on him. And you are a priest and a missionary. Not like it or not, but it is who you are. And you have something great to share in your own way, in the way that you would do it, nobody else. And, you know, so I guess in a way I've let this rob me of my joy of golf. I guess I don't experience golf very much because of the first tee box. Same thing, you know, don't let the anything, though they're all looking at me, you have something good. So when it's your turn, step up and do it, because this is going to do the hard work anyway. It's the message that we have that we've been equipped with. Well, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all today and always. Amen. Thank you. We are next. Yes, the next lesson is going to be May 8th. Next week is examination. During the Bible study hour. So, and praise God for whoever set these tables up. I came over this morning and yes, did not have to do that. So thank you for doing that. And if you have a second question away, I'd appreciate that too.
Pastor, I'd like to go play 17 holes of golf with me. Let's start.